Where is my heart? If you ever want to know where your heart is, you only have to look at what you are doing, what you are saying, and what you are thinking all day long. Those things constitute your treasure. There was something on yesterday and the day before on the television. They were talking about extraordinary people. And they were talking about the genius of Einstein. And they were talking about his mind, the kind of mind that he had. It's still a mystery how he brought forth so many things that nobody else could bring forth into the realm of knowledge, but he brought it forth by meditating on it day and night. Hallelujah. All right. It said that he would sit for hours. One of the things that he liked to do was to imagine himself, listen now, traveling at the speed of light. How do you do that? You've never done that, but he imagined himself traveling through the universe at the speed of light. And if you will meditate on anything long enough, pretty soon you will develop a mental capacity for experiencing that thing. Isn't that right? The Bible says that we are to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night in hopes of bringing the reality of Christ into our lives in a visible and practical way. If we do not meditate on the things of God day and night, how will we ever bring them into our present day reality? If you want something from God, you've got to have God on your mind. If you want to know what's in your heart, ask yourself what you do with your spare time. Hallelujah. Because your spare time reveals, as a matter of fact, there may not be any such thing as spare time, but the time that you have, the way you use your time determines where the storehouse or the treasure house of your life is. Musicians spend their spare time practicing. Isn't that right? All right. Teachers spend their spare time preparing themselves for the next lesson. That's a treasure. That's their treasure. A man once told me one time, good friend of mine, when he read that scripture, he said, I understand it perfectly. He said, yeah, you know, if you go to somebody's house and you've never been there before, when you get there, the first thing he wants to show you is his treasure. It might be his hobby. Maybe he collects coins, or maybe he does this, or maybe he's done something artistic, or maybe, but whatever it is, it's the thing that consumes him day and night, and he wants to show it to you. If Jesus and the meditations of Jesus is what you do day and night when somebody comes to your house or meets you, the first thing you want to show them is your treasure. If Jesus is your treasure, that's the first thing you want to share with others. Where a man's treasure is, there shall his heart be also. And what you do with a treasure, everybody does the same thing. You can't wait to share your treasure with others. Have you been sharing your treasure with others? Hallelujah. Have you been telling others about your Lord and your Savior? Is it the first thing you desire to communicate when you meet somebody new? Get quiet. Hallelujah. Watch out that you don't pile up these earthly treasures. Invest your time in things that are not eternal. Thieves break in and steal things that can be stolen. Moth, the Bible said, they use the word corrupt, but moth eats the stuff that can be eaten. The gospel of Christ is something that can neither be stolen nor eaten. It is a treasure whose dwelling place is in your heart and in heaven. Heaven is the backup. For everything that's done in the name of Jesus. What am I talking about? This is a computerized age, isn't it? You got to know something about computers. You know what happens if you don't have backup disk. All your information can be stolen. But when you got a backup, it doesn't matter. What you do in life must be backed up in heaven. Your life and what you do with your life, if it is to survive into eternity, must be the kind of life that meets the approval of heaven and is therefore backed up in heaven. It is the part of your life that will never pass away. They are the works that you do that can't be burnt up. When you affect somebody's life in a positive way, whereas you command them or compel them to come to Christ and to relieve from them the burdens of life, that's something that can never be eaten up, because it's something you have done in that person's life. It can never vanish away. Even if they turn away from it, what you have done can never, ever vanish away. It's in the record in heaven. Hallelujah. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The kind of stuff that can't be stolen. Forgiveness cannot be stolen. Hallelujah. Compassion cannot be stolen. When you treat someone with kindness, that can never be stolen. That goes on the record forever. Hallelujah. I hope you're with me this morning. When we do certain things, we have to be careful about how and why we do them. I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about good things. When we do good things for bad reasons, it can't last. Praying is a good thing. Isn't that right? Praying is a good thing. Jesus taught in that same chapter the disciples to pray. And that's where we got the Lord's Prayer from. But he contrasted it by saying, don't pray like the hypocrites do, so that they might be seen of men. And so, we say we want to do something, but we want to do it in a way that it will be effective in the sight of God. And so, he gives us instructions as to what our attitude ought to be when we pray. It is not so that we can be heard of men, but so that we can be heard by God. Men may hear you, but the effectiveness of your prayer all depends on what your attitude is while you are praying. Why are you praying? Are you praying because you want to be seen and heard by men? Or are you praying because you want to be seen and heard by God? Prayer is a good thing. Jesus said, let's do it in a good way. He said, fasting is a good thing. But we have a tendency when we fast to fast for the wrong reasons. Hallelujah. Some of us are fasting because it's like gymnastics. We want to see how long we can go without food. And we want everybody to know that we're on a fast. We make our faces sad. We're dreary. dragging, drooping. And when people ask us, what's wrong? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm fasting because, you know, we got to fast to get in touch with the Lord. And somebody will say, they're looking at you. And you say you're in touch with the Lord. Does anybody want to get in touch with that Lord? The one you showing the dragon. That's just barely making it. See, if men see your work, they ought to see your good works, that they'll glorify God and not turn away from God. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus said, when you fast, wash your face. Anoint your head. Look as good as you can. You know, we all wrapped up with sackcloth and ashes. We have a sackcloth and ashes religion. But that's not the religion that Jesus came to bring. He said, I'm changing this thing. Why? You know, speaking of him, it said that has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellow. Jesus was highly anointed. And evidently, he was glad most of the time. Gladness was one of the characteristics of Christ. And so when, oh my, when you hope to portray Christ, you can only portray him if you exhibit gladness. Now it says, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he had the oil of gladness. He was anointed with the oil of gladness more than anybody else. So even in times of sorrow, in times of distress, and in times of trouble, in times of grief, if you hope to reflect Christ, you can do so by being glad. By reflecting the Christ of gladness. That's why we can give thanks in all things. You're not happy because things are going the wrong way, but you can be thankful to God that you know that he is your God and that he will deliver you. And the promise of your deliverance is sufficient to override the sadness of the hour. Paul said, I suppose that the troubles and tribulations of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, you're going through a hard time. I'm going through a hard time. You're going through a hard time. But these, they're not even worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you and me. Hallelujah. No time for sadness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No time to pout. No time. Even though it looks black on the outside. Hallelujah. There's a glory rising up on the inside. Hallelujah. I tell you this because I believe that hard times are coming on the earth. In 1974, I had a vision. The Lord showed me the earth. And a voice said to me, the earth is about to tilt on its axis. And at the same time, it said, shaken out of its orbit. The Bible says that in the last days, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. When darkness covers our everyday lives, it has a tendency to cause us to be very dark in our attitude toward life. One of the reasons Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, see that you be not soon shaken. In other words, do not let it affect your attitude. There's so many killings right now. There's so many killings right now. Every day. Last week they had killing that shot people in the shopping center down in Columbia. There's killings and murders every day. The next day there were three murders in Baltimore. You know, it's just killing after killing. The darkness is coming, is covering the earth, and gross darkness, I mean terrible darkness, is covering the people. But don't get too upset. Don't let that take your joy away. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It will be the thing that will allow you to endure these times. What am I saying? I'm saying you have got to have a treasure in your heart. That treasure is the gospel of Christ. It is the assurance that what Jesus said is right. It is the assurance that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. It is the assurance that no matter how dark things get in this life, that there's still going to be a way made for you because you belong to Him. Therefore, let us not become disheveled, because, as the Bible said, fret not because of evil men. Fret not because of evil men. Because you got something on the inside, hallelujah, that's greater than what's going on the outside. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. People want you to, people abuse you all the time, but don't let it bother you. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Ah. It's important for us to take on this attitude, because it's the attitude that we need to have in order to serve Christ effectively. If we take on the attitude of the world, our servitude will be split. We can't walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, because he says plainly, no man can serve two masters. Therefore, I need to know who my master is. I need to know who my master is. No matter who I am, I must know who my master is. No matter what office I hold here in the presence of men, I must know who my master is. And I need to know when I stand for my master, when my master's commandments conflict with the commandments of men. Who is your master today? Who guides your life today? Who guides your decisions today? Who is the Lord of your emotions today? Because we all have emotions, don't we? And we all have compassion, don't we? But I've got to have compassion for the Word of God more than I have compassion for the misdeeds of men. I don't have to hate men for what they do, but I certainly can hate what they do. Amen. And so Jesus is trying to set the church straight before it ever gets started by laying down these attitudes so that you and I won't be deceived by actually the devil, the way he tricks you and manipulates you and tries to get you to change your thought pattern, as he tried to do in Eden to get you to trust him more than you trust God. He wants you to put your treasure with him rather than in heaven with God. Your words have power when you know the God of the Word. When you acknowledge the Word of truth, your words will have the power of truth. Believe me, you are not responsible for what I do. You are not. I am not responsible for what you do. But you are responsible to let me know when I'm doing wrong. And I am responsible to let you know when you are doing wrong. We are responsible for one another. Outside of that, none of us can do anything for one another except pray. Hallelujah. I ain't got time to hate you. And you don't have enough time in your life, I'm sure, to hate me. I don't have any time to try to control you, and you have no time in your life to try to control me. But I do have an obligation to try to find a way to bring the light of Christ and the attitude of Christ to you in a way that you can receive it. And you have the same obligation toward me. But beyond that, if I turn away from your dissertation or your encouragement or your advice and go my own way, your hands are clean. And if you turn away from mine, my hands are clean. If there's any such thing. Pilate said he washed his hands of the whole thing. He said, yo, he said, you people are crazy. He said, I haven't seen anything this man has done. I washed my hands. You want to kill him? You go ahead and kill him. But not at my behest. Where's your treasure? You want to do something that will last. Give me some good advice. If I want to do something that lasts, that can be written up in heaven, I got to give you some good advice. Hallelujah. The eye is the light of the body. And the Bible kind of indicates that there's some light in everybody. The question is, what kind of light is in you? What kind of light is in me? He says, if the light, well, first of all, let's do this. Because we've been talking about a divided attitude. The light of the body is the eye, and if your eye is single, not double, single, if it's singularly focused on the right thing, it says that your body then will be full of light. Full of it. If you focus in on, meditate on it day and night. And then he says this. Don't light a light and put it under a bushel. That means don't light the light and hide it. Put it where it can be seen to bring glory to God. Then he says, if the light that is in you is darkness, then how dark is the darkness? You know, back in the 60s, black lights. We use black lights when we'd be smoking pot and all that other stuff, you know. Y'all don't know about that. So there's light, and there's dark light, okay? So he says, if the light that's in you is darkness, then how dark is the darkness? If the thing that motivates you is evil, then how evil is the depressing part of you? If that which energizes you is evil, then how evil is that which depresses you? If the best you can do is use what you have to destroy another person,
That's, if that's the best you can do, then what's the dark side?
If you are essentially evil and yet have the capacity to do some good, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The goal is to let the light of Christ shine in you, so that the light that is in you is the light of God Almighty, the bright and morning star, so that the light is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light that gives life. The light that is in us that's effective is the light of life. That is the light of Christ, which comes from the Father of light. The light that is in you should shine in darkness and should completely confound dark places. There are some who have no understanding of light is because they are in darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It just don't understand. It doesn't know why you want to waste your time and invest your time in trying to give comfort to somebody else. It doesn't understand the reasoning behind that. Doesn't make any sense to those who are in darkness. It doesn't know why you want to help somebody. It doesn't make sense to those who are in darkness. Why would you want to do that? It is the opposite motivation that is in them. It doesn't know why you're not as self-centered as other people. It doesn't understand why you don't look out for number one first. It doesn't understand why you sacrifice your time, your money, on somebody that everybody's given up on. You're laying up treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. It can't be corrupted. Moth can't eat it. Hallelujah. It will endure eternity as long as you do it with but the right reason. Hallelujah. 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 So I'm getting ready to stop because I could go on and on and on, and I don't want the children to say that man made a long speech again this morning. Hallelujah. So my message this morning is that you should always lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. They can never be stolen. Nobody can take them away because they are guarded by the Lord himself. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.